The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
If God has said, come back to me in repentance, change of mind, change of heart, change of direction, come back to me, what does that look like?
James and Betty explain that when God restores us, he also prepares us for spiritual battle.
Yes, we get some arrows coming at us, but his armor is steadfast, and it is true, and it's reliable, and it is faithful.
Next on Life Today.
But I want to welcome you to Life Today. I'm James Robinson. Betty and I are thrilled to share this time with you. I don't think the world has ever seen a crisis like we are witnessing. We don't even know just really how deadly this disease is, this pandemic. Now we hear all kind of predictions about when it gets wintertime again and going into the fall. We don't know what to expect. Nobody really knows. What we do know, Betty, is that, I mean, you and I are in our mid-70s, and we've never seen anything like this in our lifetime, but I don't think there's ever been anything like it in the history of the world. And I've even searched all biblically, all the truths I could. I've never seen. I've seen when the locusts destroyed the productivity, when the drought destroyed it, when the beasts of the field destroyed it, when the birds of the air, the birds of prey attacked the flocks, and all the deadly effects of the enemy, the destroyer, throughout biblical history. But as far as I know, historically, there's never been something that just basically shut the whole world down. And we're seeking for wisdom, but you don't know necessarily the people giving the advice have the wisdom that comes from above. So if we, the people of God, who know God as Father, Creator, who has given us a reliable word, His word, who offers wisdom freely, does He give us an answer? Now, Betty, I really believe, and you know how much I've tried to just stay in the arms of God and just stay real close to His heart. I've said several times, I want to be so close, I feel His heartbeat, that I know what's on His heart and in His heart. And He's let me know He will share it with us. So let me just say this to you today. I really believe that if you will hear, you're going to get some wise counsel, because we're going to see it where we are, basically, and where we were even before the pandemic. But how do we come out of it? And we will never come out of this ditch. You see, the blind that lead the blind lead you into the ditch. And the blind leaders are the blind, and there's so many of them. They have taken over academics. They've taken over so much of the political system. They've taken over the arts and entertainment. They've taken over a lot of the religious world by actually working God and His word out. So the enemy's been at work. But this crisis put us in a ditch, dependent upon the protector, which the state, the government, is supposed to be, just like the military, the armed forces, protect life. But they were never intended, the government was never intended to be the provider. Pharaoh was not great because he had the wisdom as though it were his own source. He got the wisdom from God through Joseph. And then people made the mistake of selling out to Pharaoh and ending up in bondage. There's only one source that can lead us out. Betty, you know how much I've searched God's Word. I really believe that what I'm going to read to you right now is a picture of where we are, and I think I'm going to take you to verses there. And this is me just saying, God, show me. Because, I mean, you said you will make up to us for the years the locusts have consumed. Lord, what's happened to us is more than the crops. It's taken every job, every occupation, school, education, gathering, church gathering, everything potentially. We've never faced anything like this, and we cannot continue to let the state's grip or even well-intended advisors control us. We've got to have the mind and heart of God. Listen to what Jeremiah said. Oh, that my head were waters and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. I've told you, God's given me a broken heart. Billy Graham said that about me years ago. I said, Billy, I don't even quite grasp what you're saying. He said, James, God's going to make you like Jeremiah. I said, well, thanks a lot. But I weep over people. You know that. My heart is tender. I sometimes apologize because I can't seem to control the emotion. Well, Jeremiah said, I got to do this. But then he said this, I wish I could go to the desert to a wayfarer's lodging place. I wish I could just run away and get away from the people, because they're adulterers. They're an assembly of treacherous men. That looks like everything we're dealing with today. And Jeremiah said, I want to get away. And by the way, he's going to tell you why. But then we're going to see the answer. You don't want to miss this. Talking about the people he wants to get away from. They bend their tongue like a bow. Lies and not truth prevail in the land. They proceed from evil to evil. They don't know me, declares the Lord. Let everyone be on guard against his neighbor. When you see the real key to life is to love your neighbor. Here he's saying you got to be on guard against your neighbor. Don't trust even a brother. Because every brother deals craftily, and every neighbor goes about as a slanderer, continually slandering people. This is seemingly the full-time job of nearly all the media. It's been too often a full-time job of many church leaders and members of the body of Christ, attacking one another, slandering one another, trying to destroy one another, amputate that body part because we disagree or that body part's not healthy. That's what we've been doing. It's got to stop. They've taught their tongue to speak lies. They weary themselves committing iniquity. Your dwelling is in the midst of deceit. Through deceit, they refuse to know me. Because we're deceived, we don't know him. We may know some religion. We may have some church activities. Some people say, I hope we do get to have them. Well, we must get to have them. But we've got to be wise about everything we do. But you see, when you've got a whole dwelling place of deceit, the Lord says, behold, I will refine them and assay them. I'm going to refine the silver. When you refine silver with the fire, all the impurities come to the top and you skim it off and you can see the reflection when you look in. The church is supposed to be refined till we reflect the glory and the light and the truth and the beauty of God. So he says, I'm going to refine you. What else can I do because of the daughter of my people? Because their tongue is a deadly arrow. It speaks deceit. With his mouth, one speaks peace to his neighbor, but inwardly, he sets an ambush. This is what happens in religious settings. It's what happens too often in the business community. And it's what's happening continually in the political arena. Just after each other to destroy others. It's got to stop. You say, James, if God has said, come back to me in repentance, change of mind, change of heart, change of direction, come back to me, what does that look like? And I'm telling you, I said, Lord, since we haven't seen an exact picture of this exact pandemic in total, where the whole world is hit, how do we come back when you deal with us as individuals and you deal with us as a family? And I'm telling you, I searched the scriptures. Here's the same Jeremiah over in chapter 15. He's talking about his own walk, verse 16, chapter 15. I found your words and I ate them, and your words became for me a joy and the delight of my heart. I have been called by your name. Your name. Body of Christ, believers, family of God, my church, my family. Boy, wow. I didn't sit in the circle of merrymakers and I didn't exalt because of your hand upon me. I sat alone. See, because I held on to truth, I was pushed out. But I just settled in your arms, in the shelter and shadow of the Almighty, under the watch care of the shepherd, knowing where you're going to lead me. Even in the midst of accusers, you'll prepare a table before me, anoint my head with oil. You're going to calm the storm, the troubled waters. Lead me into green pastures. This is the relationship I have with you. You do it miraculously. I mean, if you could feed Elijah with the ravens, you could take care of a widow that had nothing. You're going to take care of us, but let's see, what is it you're really after? You filled me with indignation. Why has my pain been perpetual and my wound incurable, refusing to heal? In other words, I so feel the weight of what's happening in the world and on all who are deceived and defeated and in the pit. I have such a compassion. I see the people as sheep scattered abroad, not having a shepherd. I see them groping in the darkness. I see the little ones led away captive of the adversary. I see all this happening. That's why he said in the very first part of chapter 9, I wish I could just go away and hide. But see, God doesn't want the church to hide in a monastery. He wants us to enter the closet of prayer, but he didn't want us to live in it. He wants to get the light of his glory and truth on a lampstand. And he wants us to stand like a mighty city, a shining beacon, a shining light that can't be hidden, like a city set on a hill. How do we get to be that? Okay, don't miss this. Now, I'm telling you, this is for every person that has ears to hear and eyes to see. And boy, do you need to get this. Therefore, the Lord says, verse 19, please don't miss this. If you return, I will restore you. The very thing God said consistently through all the prophets in the Old Testament, through all the apostles and disciples in the New Testament, through every preacher of the truth throughout the ages. Turn to me. Turn from your ways. Turn from the world's way. Turn from wickedness. Turn back to me. Return to me with all your heart. Rend your heart, not your garments. Don't just go through the motion of worship or religion. You really love me with all your heart. If you return, I will restore you, and before me you will stand. If you extract the precious from the worthless, you will become my spokesman. I want to pause here, Betty. This is not just talking about preachers, not just talking about national leaders or business leaders. It's talking about every single person that believes God, every person in the family of God, every person who lost their life in Christ to find it. We suddenly realize we've lost our life in his kingdom purpose. We're here on a divine assignment. Now follow this closely. You will become my spokesman. What did Jesus say when his disciples, as he was about to ascend, were still discussing, are you going to set up your final kingdom, establish everything, and just drive the enemy out and destroy him and throw him into the pit? He said, quit talking about that. I left you here as witnesses. You're going to tarry until you're endued with power from on high. You're going to become one in one place in one accord, and I'm going to pour my spirit out on you and through you to spill it all over the world. And you're to be my witnesses. Every believer, you've been born from above to be a witness for Christ, an ambassador for Christ. They, for their part, may turn to you. They may look at you and see something that attracts them and realize, you know what, that makes sense. People of common sense recognize wisdom. They knew we weren't going in the right direction. We began to make a positive change and take back precious ground, and the enemy went ballistic, I'm telling you. This pandemic was birthed in the heart and mind of the deceiver, the murderer, the father of lies, that wants to destroy everything pertaining to life and godliness. He went ballistic. We got to understand who it is we're fighting. It's bigger than a disease. It's a deceiver. And the people that are deceived by him, you can be deceived and defeated by him, but don't embrace what he says and begin to defend it and promote it and declare it. Stop it. That's called repentance. Those of you who believe me, do not turn back to the world. I will make you, you who follow me, you who rend your heart, not your garments, you who repent, I'll make you to the people a fortified wall of bronze. And though they fight against you, they will not prevail over you. For I am with you to save you and deliver you, declares the Lord. I will deliver you from the hand of the wicked, the intentions of the destroyer, the deceiver, the murderer, the liar. I will deliver you. That's a promise of Almighty God, the Father, the Creator. Lord of lords, King of kings. Wow. Deliver you from the hand of the wicked and redeem you from the grasp of the violent. Do you know who that message is to? It's to you. Every mother, grandmother, great-grandparents like us. All of you. Every child. Every young person. Whatever age you're in, whatever stage you're in, I'll deliver you. It's a message for every businessman. It's a message for every teacher, professor, for every worker, for every family. It's a message for every politician. It's a message for the president, vice president, the cabinet. I am going to lead you when you allow me to deliver you from the intentions of the deceiver, the divider, the destroyer, death. destruction. And you're going to be a fortified wall of bronze, unshakable. Now, that is the role of the church today. Betty, this is the greatest hour for the church to rise and shine with His glory and His grace all over us and show people what it's like to love God with all your heart and really love your neighbor. All the positive things that you've seen during this pandemic has been when people love one another, when they risk their lives to take care of one another. You watch the healthcare workers, you watch the people rushing, you watch the people that are working in the midst of all these sick people. And they're there doing what? Properly loving their neighbor. Now, you can see the foolish people overextending their hand, trying to keep us in the ditch, dependent upon Pharaoh, Caesar, some king other than the king. Betty, if we, the people who know God, will separate that which is precious from the worthless, put the King of Kings back on the throne, and we begin to love Him with all our heart and love our neighbor, we can help lead the whole nation and the world into the most beautiful green pastures of God's blessings. And this time, when they lift us higher with His abundant blessings, we will not let those blessings, however exciting or beautiful or meaningful we think they are, we will not let them capture our heart, because He will hold our heart, and we will take all of His blessings and pour out through the benefit of those blessings His love and His help to people all over the world. The stage is set for that.
I believe that. I believe the harvest is near, James. I believe the time is coming when we will be the light that God put in us, that hit through His Son, Jesus. If we will exude that light that He has built in us through His Word, and we will be strong. We will put on that armor. You know, I was thinking about that armor just yesterday as I looked in His Word in Ephesians, and it talks about putting on the armor that He's prepared us for. And for this battle, that we're going to be in battles, James, as long as we're here on this earth. But that armor is not something that you take off at night when you go to bed. You wear that armor. It is God's armor. It is His shield. It is His faith. It is His truth, and it will make us strong. Yes, we get some arrows coming at us, but His armor is steadfast, and it is true, and it's reliable, and it is faithful. And if you will do that and say, God, I want to be part of Your army of love, that when the people come, they're looking, they're hungry, they're thirsty, they're dying, and say, here's the answer. It's Jesus. I saw Franklin Graham on Facebook just the other day, and he was talking about a person that was just desperate through all this pandemic and everything, and he didn't know what to do with his life. He went to Siri. He said, Siri, how can I get saved? And Siri took him to the Billy Graham Association, and someone answered the phone he called and led him to Jesus. That's what we need to be, that light. We're alive. We don't have to be something that's on a computer. We have that light in us, and we must let people see it, because they're coming. They're coming. They're desperate, and they want Jesus.
And, you know, right before I came up here with Betty to tape, I talked to Franklin on the phone. And I told him what a beautiful example he is of the Father's love. We've been close for a long time. You who support us need to know we started out in a big way supporting Samaritan's Purse. And for so many years, Franklin and I are very close. He's an expression, an example of being a spokesman, a witness for Christ. But you are too. Because, see, we were one of the first ministries that encouraged Franklin when he first took over Samaritan's Purse. People didn't even know what it was. I did. I told you. You said, let's help. And you can see the impact of that. Now, listen, that's the impact God wants to make all over the world. When I came to you years ago after going to the mission field and seeing what love through love, spirit-filled missionaries could do to save the lives of the hungry, the thirsty, and the starving, the kind of love that you who view life today have manifested is the reason I shared this message with you directly today, because it's the way we come out of the pit of all the horrific things this pandemic has brought on us. And we've done it by giving people water for life because of the water of life. And they're being saved from death, and they're coming to know the life of God through the water of life. Right now, I just told you about how we, the family of God, release the healing streams of God. We're doing that right now by giving not only a cup of water in Jesus' name, but wells of water. And I mean, we're in the final days of needing a miracle of love to be able to complete the 350 wells that we've committed to drill with your help. Would you right now watch closely and prayerfully and say, I want to give a cup of water, maybe a well of water. Watch closely.
Desolation. Desperation. Death. These are the constant companions of countless mothers throughout the nation of Zambia. Mothers like Hilda. Like so many mothers in her region, Hilda returns each day to her child's killer. Contaminated water drawn from a hand-dug well.
So we are going to take a look at the water.
Despite the horrific knowledge that it claimed the life of her son, Hilda has no choice but to continue giving this deadly water to her remaining children. Though her situation is dire, Hilda's fears do not have to be realized. There is a solution. We can mend the broken hearts of these mothers and provide the cure for their suffering.
Well, Hilda, I want you to know this. All the people watching Life Today right now all over the world know we really have the perfect answer. We don't have the perfect answer yet for this pandemic, but we know it'll be found in love and wisdom. And we all as Christians are praying for an immediate cure, not only for us here in the United States, but for people all over the world. We want to share what we learn. And as believers, as Christians, we want to share the life and love of God. So Hilda, and to all mothers like you in Africa and those 350 areas, well, we're trusting God to let us drill a water well. Hilda, we want to take away those tears, and we want to give joy to you and your family and the families of all those around you and in many other villages. Those of you who are watching right now, we really are the answer. The average cost for a well is $4,800, and right now, to be honest with you, we need a lot of people to step up and say, you know what, God's blessed me, I can drill a well. You know, sometimes somebody will send a $9,600 check and a little note and say, you know what, James, I just kind of had a double blessing and I wanted to drill too. I want God to speak to you to do whatever you can. I once made the statement, I think there could be somebody in this room right now that could drill 10 water wells. A man turned to his wife and said, we can, and they gave $50,000. That doesn't happen very often. But you see, God has a way. But do you know how most of the wells are drilled? Gifts of $48. You break it out, that gives 10 people water the rest of their life. $144 will give 30 people water the rest of their life. You may give $1,200 and pray three join you, or $2,400 and one joins you, we got another well. You just do what God leads you to do right now. Go and get your bank card, would you? If you write a check, make it to Life. But call the number there and tell us you're mailing it. We need to know it's coming. That love is on the way. Life is on the way. If you want to go online, take that bank card, use it like a check. You can go online and do it, or you can make a phone call and use it. Thank you so much. We're going to send some gifts to bless you. The message you heard today should become a blessing flowing through you like a river. Right now, would you just put arms of love around those precious children and their families and those mothers and give them water for life as the missionaries point them to the water of life? That's our key. That's our source. thank you for going right now, making that gift, making the call. Thank you.
Dirty, diseased-filled water. How desperate would a mother need to be to consider giving this contaminated substance to her child? For many mothers and their families living in extreme poverty, this is their only choice. With your help, they won't have to make this choice ever again. Mission Water for Life provides clean, disease-free water for thousands of children and their families, giving them a life free from the fear of death. With your gift today, you can help drill and establish the final 150 water wells this year. Your gift of $48 will help provide water for 10 people. $72 will provide for 15. $144 will help provide life-giving water for 30 people for a lifetime. And a gift of $4,800 will help sponsor a complete well, serving up to 1,000 people. With your gift, we'll send you Today is a Good Day seasonal devotional set. Broken out into the four seasons of the year, this beautiful set features a daily scripture, inspirational thoughts, and a place for you to journal your own thoughts, prayers, and insights from God's Word. With your gift of $100 or more, request the leather-bound, life-giving Proverbs Journal, filled with wisdom and daily encouragement from Proverbs, including lined pages for your personal notes. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well. And you may request a Mother's Strength bronze sculpture. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
We have a beautiful journal to send you, and we have all the seasons of the year devotionals in summer edition. Today's a good day. For everybody we just gave water to, it's more than a good day. It was a forever life-changing day. Hey, we sure do thank you. Thank you for watching Life Today, but more than anything, sharing Life Today and praying for God's life to be poured out through His family freely all over the world. Let's be that bright light. Let's be that spokesman, that witness. Thanks so much for watching. Thanks for sharing.
Tomorrow on Life Today. After Little Richard's recent death, James reflects on a 1979 interview he conducted with the architect of rock and roll. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.